There we go. Pin that.
This is the Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Good morning, Tuscaloosa, Internet World, West Alabama. How we doing today on a Monday, a Victory Monday on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Alabama Crimson Tide taking down the Eastern Illinois Panthers 56-0. Suspenseful day in Bryant-Denny Stadium, and we're going to talk about it right here on the Joe Gaither Show live in the Derry Daniels State Farm Studios. Hanging out with you on the Bama Central YouTube channel, Facebook page. You're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. You can find us right there at Bama Central on the Twitter machine, at Joe Gaither 6, and today at Hunter DeCiver, all on the Twitter machine. We're going to have a lot of fun with Hunter today, talking football and basketball as the Players Era Festival gets kicked off in Las Vegas tonight. Hope you guys are got your coffee pot on tonight and tomorrow. We'll find out if Alabama can win some money out there in Las Vegas. So we're going to have a lot of fun today. Before we do, we want to tell you that the program is brought to you by Purple Turtle Roofing. You need to make sure your roof is ready for Santa to land on. That sleigh is going to be hitting it hard. So make sure you call Purple Turtle Roofing at 877-787-6635. They'll give you a free inspection and make sure that your roof is in good shape. Make sure you're ready to receive all of your gifts this Christmas season. Make sure that Santa's not going to leave you with any sort of holes or repairs that you need for your roof. We appreciate Purple Turtle Roofing being a part of the program. Call them at 877-787-6635. As we said, we're going to have a lot of fun with Hunter DeCiver. Make sure you follow him at Hunter DeCiver on the Twitter machine, writing all things, all sports for BamaCentral.com, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI, but leading us with our basketball coverage. And it's going to be a huge night for basketball. Hunter was in the stadium, Bryant-Denny Stadium, this past weekend for Alabama's victory over Eastern Illinois. I watched it from the couch, so I had a nice little weekend off. So I can't wait to hang out with Hunter. Good morning, man. How are you doing?
I'm super pumped to be here. Super excited. We're going to have some fun here today.
Absolutely. We are. We are. Hunter, we should start with football because football pays the bills. But we're going to talk football just briefly, because it was Eastern Illinois. Who cares? What was the vibe in the stadium this past Saturday as Alabama is smacking a high school team?
So we get those game books at the end of the game where it tracks all the stats and everything, and I see the attendance is 100,077. That was not correct.
They sold 100,077 tickets, though.
Okay, yeah, sure. They sold 100,000
to SeatGeek.
Yeah, but it was definitely a lower crowd. I wasn't like super bad though. Like, I mean, the entire lower bowl was filled and a good chunk of the upper bowl ish, but I mean, the vibes were pretty good. You knew that this wasn't going to be a close game necessarily when you walked in there, but I think Alabama did well overall. I'm excited to talk about it.
Absolutely. Let's do it. Let's get into it. What was maybe your biggest takeaway from the weekend? Because there's a lot of different angles you could go in, but maybe what was your biggest takeaway from being in the building?
Yeah, my lead for our big picture story was something along the lines of, it's hard to make the negative a negative aspect the main takeaway from a 56-0 win. And I think you know what I'm talking about here. And the kicking was, I mean, Connor Talti missed his seventh field goal of the season. And in addition to that, the crowd booed him after the kick, and also before he went for his next point after attempt, which he did make. Speaking of, he has made every single point after attempt, but easily probably the biggest takeaway from that game was just what's going on with the kicking. I mean, we probably asked a total of 8 questions during the post-game press conference, and I think 2, including one by myself, was in regards to kicking.
28-yard field goal. Yep. Oh, this is the second in a couple of weeks inside 30 yards that you've missed, Connor Talti. And okay, so take us into the stadium. The boos start to rain down. Did it surprise you?
Yeah, honestly, it did. I mean, I know what Alabama fans are about, and they're definitely a little bit more, I guess, for lack of a better word, spoiled than some other fan bases. They expect perfection, and I get it. Nick Saban kind of instilled that, but I mean, it hasn't really worked out in the kicking game all season. And I mean, I think over the next couple of weeks, especially against Auburn and Jordan Hare, I can't guarantee he's going to make a 25-yard, 30-yard field goal. And that will lead to fourth down conversions. And yeah,
I mean, and what does that do to an offensive coordinator? You can't sit there and say, oh, it's 28 yards. We're good. This is a layup, and we're just going to kick. We've got to go for it. X, Y, Z. Like, you've got all these conversations that you're having with your own self in your head about, do I go for it? Do I trust Talty? I don't know if you saw it on the TV broadcast, but they showed Talty on the sideline, basically not really head down. That's too extreme. Mm-hmm. But sitting there kind of just ho-hum, people come up, give him a big pat on the back. Coach DeBoer came to talk to him. Lots of people came to try to pick him up, but it just – it's got to be mental at this point.
It has to be. Yeah, it absolutely has to be. Speaking of people who picked him up, I know Zabian Brown put out a thing on his Instagram story basically saying, if you're not messing with my kicker, then why are you a fan? But it seems like the team has his back, which is great. But, I mean, got to convert field goals, especially when it's super, super close.
Yeah. So really, really, that was, I mean, that has to be probably the biggest takeaway. The biggest takeaway on the negative side. I think I have another negative takeaway, but we'll save it. We'll sandwich it. We'll do a negative sandwich. But a big positive was the Alabama rushing game. Everybody's saying, oh, the committee wants to see rushing yards. Really tongue in cheek. And if you followed the Alabama Twitter account, the football Twitter account, they were really hyping up all the rushing yards and all their big rushes. Alabama rushing for 69 yards, and then with eight rushing touchdowns, right? Eight rushing touchdowns, two for A.K. Deere, two for Kevin Riley, Jam Miller got in the end zone, Austin Mack rushing touchdown, Richard Young rushing touchdown, and Daniel Hill rushing touchdown on one of his two carries. 49 rushes, 269, eight touchdowns, 5.5 yards a carry. Did Alabama fix its rushing attack this past week against Eastern Illinois?
It's tough because when you face Eastern Illinois and you face ULM, like, they did great in the run game against ULM. And then after, when they faced SEC opponents and Power 4 opponents, it didn't work out. So I'm not really sure that it was fixed. I think it had a momentum boost. I think that's fair to say. But overall, I can't guarantee that it was a complete fix because, kind of like with the kicking the last few weeks, a lot of the questions during press conferences, post game, and during the week is, what are you doing to fix the run game? Run game this, run game that. And I mean, I'm sure we'll probably have some positive run game comments today, but overall, I can't say 100% that is completely fixed.
Put a poll out on my Twitter over the weekend. Do you feel like Alabama's rushing attack took a step forward today against Eastern Illinois? Yeah. I got a handful of votes. Not my biggest poll, but a decent amount of you voted right there at Joe Gaither 6. 58% of the people said no. Wow. And you look at Eastern Illinois, they'd given up 200 or more rushing yards to four of their opponents already going into the game, and look through their schedule, and it's a bunch of other directional schools from the Ohio Valley Conference. Four other schools went 200 yards or more against them. And you look at a little deeper and you look at these quarterbacks. The quarterbacks for Alabama rushed for about 61 of the 269. Now, I think Ty did have two design quarterback runs. The rest was in scramble mode. And of course, that is part of the rushing attack. But when you were lining it up, handing it to running backs and saying, you know, Daniel Hill, Jam Miller, Kevin Riley, you know, Richard Young, you guys go do your thing. Right at 200 yards, and obviously the touchdowns as well. What did you make of the running backs? Obviously, A.K. Deere, everybody was saying, we want to see A.K. Deere. We want to see what he can do. What did you make of all the running backs? And going into the Iron Bowl, what do you think this backfield is going to look like?
Well, I mean, first you got to look at the lead back, and that's Jam Miller, who hasn't had the best season overall. But, I mean, he looked pretty solid. I'm not going to say he looked amazing. 5.6 yards per carry is great. And he had 62.
That's one of his
yards.
Best.
Yes, it is. Exactly. And he had 62 rushing yards. If you take away that 24 long gain, what's that math right there? That's got to be 38. 38 carries on 10 attempts, which is 3.8. But you can't obviously factor that in. But in general, I will say that he took a step forward to your poll question.
Sure.
But overall, I can't say that he's completely transformed to, because like in the offseason when we were asking like, oh, who's the most approved guy, this, that, Jam was like the consensus pick, and we're what, 11 games in now, and I can't say that that's the case. But moving on to the other running backs, When we were thinking, oh my God, the running game's been terrible and all this, they're using Daniel Hill. They're using even a little bit of Kevin Riley and obviously Jam, but then they use AK Deer. We've been waiting on that. And I mean, it's panning out. This guy's a 5-star. Like, he was a big deal coming out of high school, and in his two games that he's played, he's looked great. Of course, it's against ULM in Eastern Illinois, but I mean, for the future, figure Jam's not going to be here next year. Who knows if Richard Young's going to be here next year. Dre Washington, who obviously doesn't play, I mean, he's on scholarship. He's probably not going to be here next year, but that leaves you with AK Deer, Daniel Hill, and this...
Kevin Riley and EJ Crowell.
Yeah, EJ Crowell. Yes. Yeah. I was thinking, who's the freshman again? It was like EJ something, but yeah. So, I mean, it's a good group. It's a lot of youth. So I think it's promising for the future for these guys, but they're just not ready just yet.
I agree with you largely that they're probably just not ready yet. But I think that when the ball is put in AK Deer's hands, it looks like a different kind of running back to me.
Oh yeah,
And of course it is against a much lower competition. But his explosion to the hole to me looks like, ooh, that's something that Alabama doesn't have in the running back. 9 carries, 45 yards, 2 touchdowns, and so he scored against ULM as well. So he's having a decent 2-2 performances. I wonder. Look, the running. Well, you saw the running backs pass block against Oklahoma poorly. If the running backs are going to pass block against these higher ranked teams poorly, you may as well be just using. In my opinion, I mean, this is just Joe's never coached a game in his life before. You may as well just be using the guys out there who are going to be explosive in the running game, which is Daniel Hill and AK Deer, and Kevin Riley looked explosive as well. And it's like, I'm watching the East Illinois game on Saturday and thinking, why haven't you been using Kevin Riley for the last handful of weeks? Just mix him up, give him 3, 4, 5, 8 carries, you know, maybe not over, you know, RB1 territory, but mix him into this rotation. And I don't know if it's a pass blocking issue. I don't know if it's an off the field issue or if it's just a we just don't quite trust you issue. I don't know what it is, but when he has the football, he seems to be able to slip through the cracks, slip through the creases that are in the offensive line, and whoop, I'm through the crease, and now I can squirt through and get 5-6 yards. And I wonder how the coaching staff really sees this running back room, because, you know, Richard Young didn't get into the game until late, and Richard basically started the Florida State game because of the Jam Miller injury. And so, like, it's very clear to me that the shuffling has been – The deck has been shuffling all year long in the running back room, except for Jam Miller on the top of the deck pretty much all year long, right, when he's been healthy. And so it's Jam Miller at the top of the deck and everybody else behind it. And I wonder if it's just like a consistency in practice issue, or we don't know if you know all the plays issue, not speaking to anybody specifically, but just if all four of the backups, all four or five of the backups, Dre Washington included, are all just – not very consistent Monday through Friday. And so when they get in the game on Saturday, they say, well, Jam, we know Jam knows his assignments. Which of the next running backs going to be able to handle some load? And man, I'll take us into Ty Simpson's conversation in just a minute. But like, sure, part of that is needing to have something from the running game. I'm pretty concerned about that going forward. Like, you had a nice number against Eastern Illinois. Great. Who cares? You're supposed to be pushing these guys around. As you said, you had good numbers against ULM. The SEC numbers have been horrific. It's been like 108, 105 yards a game collectively. And so you're going down to have the biggest game of the year this Saturday. And I'm really not sold that the running game has taken a big step forward.
Yeah, no, I don't think you should. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's kind of very similar to the kicking. Like, it's ULM, it's Eastern Illinois. You're going to get easier kicks. And then for the run game, you're going to get easier runs. But then you play a team that is able to stop you on third down, and you're on fourth, it's not great. And same with the run game. I mean, you get stopped early on first and second down, you're on third and long, and that makes Ty have to pass it a little bit longer.
AK Deer, 16 carries on the season, 130 yards. So that's what average? That is my gosh, 8.1. Yeah. Wow, 8.1, 3 touchdowns. He's got that long run of 56 yards against ULM. Now, obviously, you have most of those carries coming against ULM and Eastern Illinois. You took two carries for 9 yards against Wisconsin. That's your only real power four action this season. I'm really curious to see if he's kind of like, oh, we're ready to unleash you against the Auburn Tigers. Do you think there's any world where it becomes a jam, Daniel Hill, AKD, or trio this coming Saturday?
I'll say jam and Daniel Hill. I've liked what I've seen from Daniel Hill this year. I mean, we didn't really see him much last game, but in general, I mean, he's good as a pass catcher, which is rare for a guy that's about an inch shorter and about 20 pounds lighter than Derrick Henry is. But I mean, in the offseason, DeBoer said like his pass catching will surprise you. And on top of that, with his ability to bulldoze people, I think he definitely gets some action against Auburn. But aside from him and Jam, I think it's just those two.
Oh, well, we'll see what happens this Saturday. Biggest game of the year, 6:30 against the Auburn Tigers. Everett Osmer joining us on the Facebook machine. Appreciate you hanging out
with us,
Everett. Happy Thanksgiving, you guys. And Hunter is doing good, so appreciate you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Compliments to Hunter because he deserves it. Let's do a couple of different things here. Okay, so I want to take us into Ty Simpson. But we need to spin it. Well, we're still positive with the running game. Okay. What did you think about the defense? The defense, 34 dadgum yards. I mean, is it the defense is playing so well, or Eastern Illinois is inept? I mean, there's some of that, but the defense was on fire. You get the Tijon Lee interception. Go ahead. What do you think about the defense? No,
exactly. The defense was on fire already. Like, we know that the run game wasn't, and we know the kicking game wasn't, and a couple other factors. So we knew that going into Eastern Illinois would look good, but against other teams it hasn't. But we know against the SEC that this defense is fantastic. It's been one of the best in the last couple of years, honestly. Like, Kane, there's always those people, especially last year.
Four, first down!
Exactly. And from a northerner that was not, like, involved in college football when I was younger, and really just the NFL, makes me go crazy. Like, I don't know what it is, but
they got a first. We got to get rid of them because they got a first down.
Yeah, I see Theo's on here.
Absolutely.
Speak of defensive guys, but what was I gonna say? I mean, I think every single like facet, the D line, the linebackers, and the DBs all doing a good job. I mean, at the start of the season and going back to last year, the running quarterback was their kryptonite, and they haven't really faced many since like Vanderbilt, but overall, like, they've fixed that issue. LT Overton's kind of getting more to the QB than he was before. I mean, I know last year he led everyone in pressures by a lot, which can get to the QBs getting there lately. Not a ton of sacks, but and the linebackers, I mean, we didn't really see them much this past game, but in general, Justin Jefferson has turned from a missed tackles guy to just an absolute beast. And, I mean, we were warned in the offseason that this guy can run with the DBs, literally what strength coach Dave Ballou said. He's fast. He's a heat-seeking missile. And then, obviously, got two-time captain Deontay Lawson in there, who's been good all year. Not anything crazy, but he's been good all year. And then Nekhai Hill-Green, this Colorado transfer, he's been great the last few weeks. And then, obviously, the DBs. I think everyone's really done their part. Something we could probably discuss a little bit. I know you're a little bit more interested in this. Is Domani Jackson got the start over Dijon Lee this time around after a couple weeks? And I know.
Do you think that was just for senior day, or do you think that's a shuffling? Because Jaden Roberts got a start too.
That's a good point. I think it's just shuffling though. I didn't realize that. That's a good point, though.
Yeah, I think that when I saw him starting, I was like, oh, it's senior day. Give him the last little.
I did not get that vibe, but that makes a lot of sense. But, I mean, he did fine.
Yeah. And he played much better against Oklahoma. I thought he played really well against Oklahoma.
Yeah, that was there was questions for that. Because I remember, was it the Oklahoma game? Yeah, the Monday after Oklahoma.
Colin asked about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so offensively, there's a bunch of negative kind of questions regarding the run game and the O-line. And then defensive, myself included, we just ask like, oh, what's this player doing so well? What's this player doing so well? And it's just such a big difference between offense and defense. Not that offense is doing bad by any means, but the defense has been lights out.
Well, and What do you make of that? Because at the very beginning of the year, it was, wow, offense is going incredible. Defense, you got blown up by Florida State, and can you stay on the field? Like the position units, the offensive defensive units have totally flipped their perception from the beginning of the year. It was, wow, defense is now amazing, and championship-level defense, you only put 34 yards to, oh, run can't run the football. Yeah, what's wrong with Ty Simpson? To all these offensive questions, is it just you've got all this stuff on tape now? What do you make of the perception change, or really the performance, the execution change from the two different units?
I guess a good way to say this, and I'm not saying that someone's a bad captain and someone isn't, but we've seen that Tim Keenan is extremely vocal, and we've seen that two-time captain Deontay Lawson is extremely vocal. They're on the defensive end. And I mean, to say they really chewed out the defense after Florida State, I mean, I'm sure they did, but something flipped and it stayed that way. Meanwhile, the offense, it's been relatively consistent throughout the year, but the last couple games, it hasn't been anything too crazy. I mean, Ty was a Heisman-like favorite at one point. I mean, I'm still in the running, but it's been a little quiet over the last couple weeks, which, I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing because they are getting wins except for Oklahoma. But I mean, as the season goes on, you want to get better and better. You want to be way better than you were in week one versus week 12. And we'll need to see that on Saturday.
Yeah. It feels like to me, the offense is eroding slowly, not falling off a cliff, yeah. but just like, you know, water goes through a river and slowly erodes the riverbed. And it seems like the offense is just slowly eroding. And I'm like, not a good trend for the Alabama offense. And obviously, they did run the football pretty well against Eastern Illinois. Let's keep going here with Hunter DeCiver. Make sure you follow him at Hunter DeCiver on the Twitter machine. He was in Bryant-Denny Stadium leading all of our coverage at BamaCentral.com. And let's talk about Ty Simpson, because basically, I don't know if you saw this, but I went on to my Twitter machine at halftime, 11 of 16, 147, and two interceptions. Not exactly what you want to see against FCS opponents. And I got absolutely met with a lot of anger. You know, the second interception doesn't matter. You know that. He didn't play that bad. You know that. Ryan dropped a touchdown. You know that. And it's like, okay, Ryan did drop a touchdown. You're right. But the first interception, I thought, was horrible. And the second interception, of course, it didn't really matter. But you only are throwing that 50-yard bomb because of the poor execution on the two-minute drill drive. I mean, it was only 50 seconds, but you still, it was terribly executed. So I don't really think that Ty Simpson played well. And did it matter? No, you won 50. I got a lot of, it's 28-0. Why don't you calm down? And I'm like, yeah, well, where's all this energy that you have for Tanner Talty, not for Ty Simpson? Like, you want him to make the 28-yarder. Of course, it doesn't matter that he missed it. It doesn't matter. But you want the execution. You want the strong play. And I think that, Ty had a great numbers yardage-wise against Oklahoma, but you still had some of the havoc plays go against him. The turnovers go against him. That first interception was a horrific. It was a terrible decision. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, the linebacker or defensive back made a good play. He jumped up, but it was not a good choice, in my opinion. The guy was covered. It was like, oh, you better throw a perfect ball, and he didn't. I don't think Ty played very well, and people were, well, it doesn't matter. We were trying to get the run game going. Well, did you get the run game going? Because I don't know that you really did. You didn't get to 300 yards. You didn't blow him off the football. So what'd you make of Ty Simpson? I was not very – to me, left some things to be desired.
Yeah, I mean, we'll start with the interceptions. I think the Hail Mary pass – I honestly don't think it was that big of a deal. I mean, DeBoer was asked about it. It was a last second heave, whatever. I do understand that they wasn't executing that 2-minute drill. The first pick wasn't the best, but I mean, you got to give credit to that linebacker, DB. Like, he jumped ridiculously high, but the ball had to be perfect. And speaking of perfect, that's what Ty Simpson was against ULM.
Exactly.
Yeah. 17-17. And I was talking to Will Miller before the game, like, over under. Keelan and Austin Mack get like 80 combined passing yards, knowing that Ty's not going to throw for 250.
Sure.
But I still expected Ty to get like 175, 180, and only have like one incompletion or something like that, like he did against ULM, but that wasn't the case. and it wasn't his best performance.
That was like my exact contrast is, well, it's a lower level team. Who cares? We always look. I'm like, you shouldn't be looking sluggish against. Look at what he did against the last lower level team. And this is an even lower level team than ULM. 70 of 17, 225, 226, three touchdowns against ULM. And it was like, oh, that's what efficient play looks like. That's what I'm not forcing the ball. I don't feel like, you know, I need to do it all. I'm just taking what the defense gives. Let my playmakers do their thing. And so take you back 2 minutes ago, the contrast of the offense, the erosion of the offense.
Yep.
You've got in week number two, right? ULM is two, not three.
It was two.
Yeah. In week number two, you've bounced back against the Florida State loss with just, I'm just dealing it out, playing point guard, letting my playmakers do their thing
yep.
to, oh, I'm pressing in week 11 or 12, whatever it was last week. I'm pressing. I'm now trying to make the plays because, you know, all year long, my running game hasn't really complimented us, so I've got to go push this ball a little bit. I hold on. I feel like his sense of timing has just really, really been off over the last few weeks. Even against Oklahoma, you're getting the ball out really quick or you're holding it on too long. And it was either one or the other. And it just, I don't feel like his sense of timing is quite there. And so, like, you, again, all this is projected forward against the Iron Bowl. We don't right. really care. I don't really care that you won 56-0 against Eastern Illinois. People are, you're being too nitpicky. It's not about Eastern Illinois. It's about the projection of the rest of the year. You're going to play Auburn. If you win, you're going to play Texas A&M. Yep. You got to play maybe a playoff appearance in front of you. Like, you're going to have better play than 11 of 16, 147, and two interceptions. And sure, that second one doesn't matter. I agree with all of y'all. It's just a heave at the end of the half. But you're not throwing a 50-yard heave if the first four plays of that drive were, boom, 10, 12, 15, 12. Oh, now we're on the 30-yard line. We're on the 30-yard line, and we're either putting the kicker back out there for another kick or we're drawing up something more than a Hail Mary to try to score a touchdown right there. I just don't really feel like Ty has been dialed in over the last few weeks. And, I mean, take you all the way back to probably the Missouri game being the last time I think Ty was really, really dialed in.
I
wonder if it's, did you stub a toe? Do you have a blister on your hand? Like, not an injury, but is there something up? Is there some, did you get hit one time and you thought, oh boy, one of these defensive ends really got me. I've got to start getting, like, something has seemed to have knocked his clock off just a little bit internally to where he's either, I'm going too fast or I'm holding it too long or I've got to go make a play. And I just wonder how it relates to the running game, but what it's going to mean going forward. You're going into a hostile environment against a really, really good defense that's going to fly around and try to trick you a little bit against Auburn. I didn't really feel like the Eastern Illinois game gave me a whole lot of confidence.
No, it shouldn't have. I mean, you mentioned the Missouri game. I think during that, when the Alabama broke that record of most consecutive wins without like a bye against a ranked SEC opponent, that was great in those four games.
Yes.
But I don't want to say he got complacent because that's just not right. But something changed after those extremely hard, rigorous month of schedule. And things are getting a little bit lower and lower for him in some decision making. I don't know if I necessarily say confidence, but it kind of looks like that.
All right, so let's go out to the voicemail line and find out what you guys think. I know I have Hunter Brantley and Dax on the voicemail machine. You guys can call at 205-462-7340, extension 800. Here is, let's find it right there. Click that, and here's our voicemails for the weekend.
Win. Good win. You did what you were supposed to do. Beat a really bad football team handily. In fact, dominated them, I would say. I think that's a safe assumption. 56 zip. Good stuff, good stuff. Defense played their tails off like always. They kind of carried. I'm just going to call it what it is. They are the best in the SEC. They don't miss a beat. They get better every week. Best secondary. I think Pierre's coming on strong. I think Tim Keenan, Ray Hubbard, Deontay Lawson, LT Overton. I mean, I can go on and on and on. We played a lot of guys on that side of the ball. And everyone did their job and looked really good doing it. Very pleased with the defense. I'll say that. Special teams, I mean, Connor Talty, what are you doing, man? Like, Make a freaking kick, dude. 28-yard field goal and you miss it? You miss a 28-yard field goal. That is a gimme. That is a layup. I could not fathom LeBaron Filon ever missing an easy layup like that. I mean, come on, bro. Get it together, dude. Sheesh. And I don't feel bad for you at all that they booed you. I do not feel bad at all. Not 1 ounce of sympathy from me. When you show up your long snapper like that last week against Oklahoma, and then you come out and just crap the bed against Eastern Illinois, you deserve everything that's coming your way. And I don't feel bad at all. I'm sorry. Do your job and make a freaking kick.
What's up, guys? It is Dax. Morning after the game. We won 56-0. It was a big-time sleeper. The stadium was about half full and was pretty much dead the whole game. We didn't really have anything to get excited about because there were zero explosive plays. However, we did run for like 260 or something, which is really good to see, and 8 rushing touchdowns. That's the most rushing touchdowns we've had in a game since like 79, I think, against a Vanderbilt team, which I'm assuming was not good, but I wasn't alive then, so I don't know. Our defense, outstanding yet again. That first interception by Dijon was absolutely nuts. We also only held him to 34 yards, which is the fourth fewest yards we've held a team in the history of the program. I need to do research on the first, second, and third, because 34 yards is nuts. I don't know how that's only fourth. But I think that's the fewest we've held an opponent to since the 60s. I love the defense. Like, they were playing. We were playing hard. We were stopping them at the line of scrimmage, actually wrapping up. They only got through some holes like 2 or 3 times. I think they had 2 first downs the whole game. It's Eastern Illinois. I know. Good ball team. That's 3-8 team in FCS. But, I mean, I'm glad we were able to run the ball against somebody this year. Felt pretty good. Talty's being talked about a lot. I think the only reason he got booed was because he went off on that long snapper last week. The long snapper last week. That's the only reason that man got booed, when he walked out and missed a freaking field goal that I could have made. There was no pressure. It's Eastern Illinois. It's 28 yards. Shanked it. And it was a good snap, good hold. But the boo, like, the whole stadium started letting into this guy. And then he started, I was at the game, but I heard that he was agging it on. But the second time, everybody started booing him every time he came on to kick an extra point. Also, shout out to number 96, Tucker Cornelius. He got himself an extra point. He's a walk-on kicker. He's a son of one of my dad's good friends. So Tucker got himself a point. Go Tucker. Don't transfer. We might actually need you, buddy. I think that's about it. Sleeper game. Nothing exciting happened. It was Eastern Illinois. But, got to go to a game day in Tuscaloosa. 12-0 when I'm in attendance. Roll Tide, boys.
12-0 when Dax is in attendance. I think somebody needs to find him some Iron Bowl tickets. Somebody needs to make sure that Dax is in Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Yeah. I mean, this is I don't want to call it like a trap game, because going to Jordan-Hare is always a trap game, but Dax got to get some tickets.
Yeah, we got to get him over there. If anybody has the hookup for Dax, let me know and I'll connect you guys for sure. Now, Hunter, I want to finish this conversation up with just a spotlight on the young players, because it was an option to see a lot of the youth. We talked about the good. We talked about some of the bad. Who are some of your favorite or standout young players that you got to see this past Saturday?
I mean, a lot of it came on the defensive
side
of the ball, more than the offense, if anything. I mean, I remember I'd have to look up the exact tweet I put out, but there was like 6 players on or 7 players on the field at one time in like the second quarter that I just like hadn't seen really all season.
Just in their scrambling your depth chart card. What number is it?
Yes, exactly. I don't think I've ever had a game where like I did that more than this one, but I think the secondary moved around a lot. I know Ivan Taylor was in there a good bit, the son of Ike Taylor. Yeah, Ike Taylor is a member of, I don't know if I call him a member of the media, but he's always at the press box. So I saw a lot of him. Zay Mincy made a few plays. He's someone that was like a highly touted recruit that didn't really get any playing time last year. and hasn't really been seen much this year, but he's definitely one. Caden Jones, we have not seen since the Missouri game, I believe. He's been hurt, but he finally got back this time around, and he had a few good plays. Luke Metz, he was paired with him as well.
Luke was awesome.
Yeah, I was excited to see Luke. A lot of freshmen. I gotta find the exact tweet I had, but it was a good amount of players.
Jackson Lloyd got some tackle time, left and right tackle time.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that for sure. We've seen a lot of the freshman young guys on the offense, but the defense, I thought it was great. Luke Metz and Duke Johnson getting in there and playing as a tandem, I thought was a lot of fun. You saw Fatuatua Henry,
yep,
who Duco transfer. I guess he's not technically a young player because he's been in college for a while. Mm-hmm. Steve Bolabumwa got in there as well. Yeah. I enjoyed seeing him, but it was just like a roulette of who's on the field now. It's just like, spin the wheel, going in.
So Alabama's third defensive drive, I found the tweet. Here are some players that were in it to start the third defensive drive. QB Reese, Caden Jones, Noah Carter, Kelby Collins, Jordan Renaud, and Zay Mincy. Those are six guys that really have not played much this year. A couple of them are transfers, including Kelby Collins from Florida. He hasn't really played much this year, but, I mean, it was a three and out drive. I'm pretty sure there's a sack on the drive too. So it was exciting to see that group. QB Reese, especially. He's been talked about a lot throughout the offseason. Haven't really seen it much, but he got a decent amount of playing time yesterday or on Saturday.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty nice little exhibition of Alabama's future. And speaking of future, what do you think of the backup two quarterbacks? We played Alabama played five quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But two really take a lot of the spotlight, Austin Mack and Keelan Russell. And I'm not doing it. I'm not doing a, going back to the Ty Simpson conversation, I'm not doing a, let's play Austin Mack or Keelan Russell. That's not really part of this, but for me at least. What do you think of those two?
Got to start with Austin. 5 for 5, 45 passing yards. He had like a 20-yard rushing touchdown. That's exciting. I mean, this is like
he was smooth with it.
Yeah, he looked great. Overall, he looked really good. And again, it's Eastern Illinois, so you got to keep that in mind.
Yes. But
a really nice 20-yard touchdown. I mean, this is a 6'6" guy. Like, that's exciting when you're able to see over the defense very easily, and then you could also run the ball like very quickly. And I was impressed with what he did. Same with Keelan Russell. He's kind of like the, I don't want to call him like the Ryan Williams of this year just because he doesn't play, but he's like that freshman.
The Wonder Boy.
Yeah, he's that freshman that everyone's like, oh man, this guy's going to be insane in a year or two. And I mean, in the two games that he's played, he's looked good. Again, it was against ULM and this one, Eastern Illinois, but 7 of 9, 78 yards. I mean, that's good stuff. That's what you want.
Speaking of young players, Marshall Pritchett filling in for Josh Cuevas. Oh, that's probably something we need to address. Josh Cuevas, I would say doubtful this coming Saturday. That you're going to get the coaching staff probably playing the injury games this week with him. But I bet you Wednesday he's going to be listed as probably doubtful. I think that he broke his foot last fight. It hasn't really been confirmed, but as you've heard from whispering, rumoring, foot injury, and I think he may have broken his foot.
So I haven't heard a full broken foot. What I heard from Batman Online's Charlie Potter, actually, we were talking about before the game, is a bone in his foot.
Okay, sure.
So, I mean, a broken foot. That sideline Quay Russo for 6 weeks, sideline Keon Sapp for pretty much the entire season last year. So I don't know if it's that crazy serious, but I don't think he'll be playing against Auburn. I don't think if the Alabama makes the SEC championship, I don't think he'll be playing then. Again, I'm not 100% sure.
Right.
But it'll be a couple games probably, but I don't think it's a broken, like full on broken foot.
And you got a wide open tight end room. I get you can't count on Danny Lewis. You've got now Caleb Edwards and Marshall Pritchett. Yeah. And you saw Brody Dalton get a few receptions as well, but really the focus on the two freshmen. Caleb Edwards been playing most of the year in sporadic situations, but Marshall Pritchett really getting the most run that he has had this season, leading the team in receptions, 4 receptions, 33 yards, all 4 of his targets he brought in, basically filling the Josh Cuevas role. How are you feeling about the tight end room minus Josh Cuevas?
Yeah, the tight ends were one of the articles I wrote. I mean, Marshall Pritchett was fantastic. That's really the only way I could put it. Kalen DeBoer, when asked about the tight ends overall, he straight up said, Marshall Pritchett is going to be a really good player. And we saw a glimpse of it. And I mean, I thought as a pass catcher, he looked great. He leaped up for a couple balls, and I mean, he's a freshman, obviously, and he'll really only grow from here. But I was super impressed with him. Brody Dalton, he had 22 yards, which is fine. He had three catches, which is, I mean, Marshall Pritchett had the most catches on the team with four, and next was Kevin Riley and Brody Dalton. So Brody Dalton did well as well. And Caleb Edwards, I mean, I spoke with Cuevas about like who's going to step up as a leader when he's gone, because he's a redshirt senior. He's gone after this, and he said like, the exact words was Caleb Edwards has adjusted very efficiently throughout his freshman season. And it's appeared that way. I mean, he's gotten a lot of playing time. I mean, he's gotten more playing time than Danny Lewis, who's a veteran player, even when he's healthy. But I mean, yeah, Edwards looks the part, and he only had one catch yesterday, but it went for 30 yards. And he's had a really solid freshman campaign overall. And I'm excited about this tight end room. I mean, going into this year, when we're doing our position previews, we're thinking, oh, this group has a position battle, this position has a position battle. And we just straight up said, it's Josh Cuevas and everybody else. And we didn't really know everybody else because it's a bunch of new guys. And before, it was CJ Dupree and Rob Utes, who are now in the NFL. I don't know if CJ Dupree still is, but Rob Utes is currently with the Seahawks with Jalen Milroe. But I mean, the tight end room, it's in good hands, which is very exciting.
Absolutely. And you'll see Max Sutter come in next year from Illinois, I think Indiana, Illinois. And he looks like a pretty nice little athlete as well. All right, Hunter, I'm about out of the football topics from Saturday. Do you got anything else on your brain that you want to get out there, or anything that you think that we didn't talk about?
No, I mean, I think the stories that we wrote were kicking, run game, tight ends, and talk about the quarterback a little bit. So, I mean, we covered all the bases.
So we'll be going over to the Malmore Athletic Facility here in just a few hours. You'll be able to see our press conferences with Kane Womack, with Ryan Grubb, and with Kalen DeBoer as we shift all our focus to the Iron Bowl. So we'll do that for the rest of the week. We'll get Mason's 5 minutes on Eastern Illinois tomorrow and then start really diving into this Auburn matchup that I am not feeling so good about. I know my man Dax texted me last night that he's feeling strangely confident. So we'll spend most of the rest of the week on the Auburn Tigers. Let's shift our attention tonight to tonight's matchup. Alabama basketball is going to be taking on the Gonzaga Bulldogs. I think it's 8:30 this evening. You'll be able to watch that game. Before we do that, though, I want to remind everybody the program is brought to you by Purple Turtle Roofing. You need a place for Santa to land? Call Purple Turtle Roofing at 877-787-6635. At Purple Turtle Roofing, we believe our work is about more than roofing. It's about service, stewardship, and sheltering what matters most. Our name may be unique, but it's deeply rooted in purpose and faith. The color purple, symbolizing Christ and royalty, reflects our founder's personal belief in striving for excellence and honoring a higher calling in all that we do. The turtle is something that began as a simple idea, but quickly became a powerful symbol of strength, endurance, and divine guidance. Call Purple Turtle Roofing today for all of your roofing needs at 877-787-6635. Oop, wrong document right there. Roofing with heart and built to last. That's Purple Turtle Roofing. And of course, you need to make sure that Santa has a safe place, safe and secure place to land so you get your gifts. So call them today. We'll have Brax Garrison join us from Purple Turtle Roofing here in a couple of days, probably Wednesday again. We'll get his perspective on the Eastern Illinois game and really the Auburn matchup ahead. But Hunter, let's turn our attention to basketball as Alabama has traveled out to Las Vegas to take on the Gonzaga Bulldogs and at least the UNLV running Rebs. We'll find out whether they're playing Wednesday or Thursday. And golly, that makes for a difficult week for the Alabama basketball beat writer. Just what's your thoughts on the Players Era Festival as a whole? And really, then we'll take it into the Gonzaga game.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Players Era Festival is exciting. It was fun last year. I mean, I didn't go, but I mean, it's in Vegas and money is involved. Like if you win, you're at least last year, I don't remember the exact payouts. I wrote it a couple months ago, but I know the winner gets $1 million. Like his team gets $1 million in NIL money just to spread around. And I think second place is like 250K or something like that. Maybe 100K, but it's an exciting time. And like, it's not necessarily a tournament, but it's like a showcase of some of the best teams in the country. I mean, there's a whole field of teams and most of them are ranked for this year. And it's an exciting opportunity.
Alabama taking on Gonzaga tonight. Gonzaga is 5-0 on the season. They have taken down Oklahoma, Creighton, and Arizona State as your notable wins. Also, Texas Southern and Southern Utah. Who can? They beat Southern Utah 122-50. Yikes! But really, their best win is against Creighton, who is ranked 51 in KenPom. Gonzaga is ranked really three. They're ranked three in KenPom. Their offensive efficiency is 8. Their defensive efficiency is 5. Alabama, just for contrast, Alabama's offensive efficiency is 7, and their defensive efficiency is 37 overall. So really, honestly, for an 8-0 team, 37 in defense, you're feeling pretty good about it, especially considering some of the high-level competition that they played so far. That Purdue team, whoa, that's a wagon for sure. Alabama 17th overall in KenPom. Alabama's tempo has dropped a little bit, down to 6th in the country, 75.1 possessions per 40 minutes. Gonzaga is at 65 in the country, but not really that far. The analytics haven't really set in too much. 72.4 possessions per 40 minutes. So you've got the Gonzaga Bulldogs, who are feeling pretty good about themselves. You have, so let's see, look at their most common lineups real quick so I can get a little sense of what they're doing. Their most common lineups: Mario St. Supery, Adam Miller, Jalen Worley, Braden Huff, and Graham Ike, 6'9", 250 at the center position. Power forward, 6'10", 250, Braden Huff. You're going to look at a pretty nice little roster. Is there any of these names that I recognize from years past? Not really. What are we thinking about the Gonzaga Bulldogs tonight? Gonzaga is, oh, I just had it. Gonzaga, their comparison is at 4-5. They're, don't want to see their three pointer. Yeah. Three pointers attempted. 31 three pointers attempted per whatever the 40 minutes is. I can't read this right. What do you know about Gonzaga? Because you were on the press conference last night with Nate Oates.
Yeah. So first off, they are allowing 57.8 points per game, which is 6th in the country, 6th best, or 6th fewest, whatever you want to call it. Alabama, I believe, has around 91 points per game, so it's a big difference there. So it starts with that. But the two things revolve around their front court. And Nate Oates yesterday, during our press conference, he said that he was on a podcast with Houston head coach Kelvin Sampson. And Kelvin Sampson, who played Gonzaga in the NCAA tournament last year, he said Graham Ike and Braden Huff are like, I don't know how, what's your demographic of viewers, but they're like Kevin McHale and Robert Parrott.
Ha!
So you got
the 86 Celtics.
Yeah, exactly. You got 80s Celtics, two Hall of Famers that have won a few NBA rings. And I mean, that's a lot of, that's pretty high bar. Like, Alabama's going against a front court this season with rebounding and just a battle on the glass and on the interior hasn't really been great. It wasn't great last year either. And obviously they've made some improvements last game against Illinois compared to against, let's say, Purdue, St. John's. And I think that's going to be like the story of this game is, can Alabama stop that front court on both ends of the floor?
Well, how are you feeling about it? I mean, I went into the Illinois game pretty pessimistic due to really everything that we saw in the Purdue game, especially in the rebounding department. But in comes Keaton Bristow, and we talked about this on the Thursday program with Mason. What did you think about his impact, and how do you think that, I mean, you're still going to be without Collins Onyedziaka, which is probably not that big of a loss. You're still without Jaleel Hurley, Jaleel Bethea, and then you basically aren't getting much from Noah Williams. And what do you think about Keaton's impact returning to the lineup? And how do you think this game's going to go tonight?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, you and I were talking on the ride over here that, I mean, I'm from New York, so I'm not really from the South, and I've never heard of Tarleton State before Keaton committed to Alabama. So when I heard about him committing, I'm thinking, oh, it's some guy from a school I never heard of. I don't know if he's going to really make that crazy of an impact. But in his one regular season game played so far, plus the exhibitions that he played before he had an ankle injury that forced him to miss the first couple games, he's a rebounding machine. In the paint, he's a force. I believe he's around 6'10". And I know you've made the Kenneth Faried comparisons, which totally work. But yeah, he's a game changer, and having him tonight will be huge. Him not being there for Purdue and St. John's made the difference on the rebounding battle. Obviously, St. John's, they lost, or Alabama won that game, but I mean, still, rebounding was a main issue. It's a main issue for Purdue. And I mean, Illinois, they still lost the battle, but I mean, Keaton being back certainly helped. And I mean, I'm sure we're about to talk about it, but I'll just say real quick, Amari Allen.
Go for it. Yeah.
Amari Allen had a double-double. Like, he's averaging, I think, 8 rebounds a game. This is a freshman. I asked Nate Oates probably like a week before the season started. So LeBaron, when he like committed here, Oates told me that he initially considered redshirting him because they already had the roster. LeBaron committed late because he was originally at Kansas. Actually, he was originally at Auburn, and then he chose Kansas after that, and then he chose Alabama. But anyways, LeBaron gets here in that summer of 2024, and obviously everything changes, and you saw how he did last season. You see he's now a top 15 lottery pick kind of player. And anyways, I asked Nate Oates, was there a freshman this year that you said, like, before he even got to, like, Alabama, like, oh, we'll probably redshirt him. But then he comes here, and then everything kind of changes. And then he said, oh, yeah, Amari Allen. And through four games, whatever it is, he's proven himself. I mean, he fills the stat sheet all over, and he's going to be a big factor tonight.
Yeah, going to be a huge, huge game tonight. Graham Ike, 17 points, 9 rebounds from the forward position. Braden Huff, 14, basically 15 points, 5 rebounds. And Tyon Grant Foster, 11 points, 6 rebounds as well. So going to be a huge, huge matchup right there. 8:30 on TNT, Gonzaga, a 4.5-point favorite. Yeah, it says that Gonzaga 13, Alabama 11. But I do think that Gonzaga is probably your better basketball team just on the whole. They're averaging 46 rebounds a game. Alabama's averaging 38 rebounds a game. But hey, man, it just takes a hot night, and it just takes LeBaron doing what he did against Illinois. I picked against Alabama last week before the Illinois game last Wednesday. I don't know if I'm going to be doing that many more times this season. I'm not going to be doing it again today. I know KenPom has Alabama losing tonight to Gonzaga. What is that actual score? KenPom predicts Alabama losing 87-83, so right on that 4-point line. So look, do not gamble, because it's probably going to be right on that 4.5-point line, yeah. And you're going to be angry either way. I don't really. I have confidence in this Alabama team. I have confidence that Latrell, that LeBaron, that the veteran guards in LeBaron, Aiden Holloway, Latrell, and Houston Millett will be able to uplift the younger trio. I've enjoyed the young trio of London Jemison, of Amari Allen, and Davion Hanna. I thought those three guys have played absolutely fearless. I mean, oh, yeah. You highlight Amari, and rightfully so. He's been amazing, really, so far for a freshman. But I thought as a collective three, those three guys, you know, as a freshman, they say you don't know what you don't know. Like, they don't know that they should be, oh, it's a big-time matchup against Purdue. I should be afraid to make plays. Right. This is a big-time matchup against St. John's. I should, you know, ease off and be nervous. Those three guys have no inhibitions out on the basketball floor, and I'm really enjoying how they're playing so far.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about Amari, obviously. London, I mean, he seems like a guy that kind of dives on the floor a lot to get loose balls, which is really, that's something that you really need on a team. And for a freshman who's doing that, that's great. Davion, he's been a little bit hurt, had a tailbone injury.
Fell on his rear end.
Yeah.
You ever had your tailbone bruised?
I probably have. Oh. I've never like had it like diagnosed as that, but I've fallen on it before, but it
like hurts. Walking funny for a few days,
yeah, and
like, waddling.
I asked Nate after Purdue that, because Davion, like, he didn't say, like, before that Davion wasn't going to play or anything, and he wasn't, like, limited, but Davion only played 5 minutes that night, and I asked him, is he 100%, or is he not 100%, and he said no, but we should have played him more because he's tough and he gets rebounds, and we haven't necessarily seen him be that defensive player that's just as good as Herb Jones just yet, like Nate did say during SC Media Days. He hasn't been bad by any means, but Davion's a freak athlete. He might be the best athlete on this team.
Every time he's like defending somebody, that's the comment that goes in my head. Like, yep. Every time he's out on the perimeter, I'm like, best defender since Herb Jones. Let's see it, buddy.
Yep, 100%.
Oh, will Aiden Sorrell stay out of foul trouble tonight? Oh, because if he stays out of foul trouble, I think he becomes a factor in this game. But he's really struggled through the early part of the season to play with his hands kind of straight up. He's been kind of wild, kind of reckless with his hands a little bit.
Yeah, defend without fouling. That's kind of been the motto there. He's got like 4 fouls or 5 fouls or so within the last couple of games. And, I mean, I just take it back to North Dakota. He had 4 blocks. Like, he had 7 all of last season. He had 4 against North Dakota alone. And, I mean, if he could find a way to kind of just figure that out and not jump too early or jump too late, and get those blocks. I mean, this is a McDonald's All-American. Like, when Cliff Amori left while he was out of eligibility, I mean, everyone knew, all right, Aiden Sherrill's now the guy. He's now the guy that's going to be at the big. He's at the center, even though he's listed as a forward. And he only averaged like 8 minutes per game last year, but people still had that faith in him. And he's shown what he could do when he's not in foul trouble. So he just continues that.
8:30 on TNT. You'll be able to follow all the coverage on BamaCentral.com as well tonight as Alabama kicks off the Players Era Festival tomorrow against UNLV. UNLV is at 93? Is that what I just saw? Oh, all my KenPom tabs are all over the place. 98 overall in KenPom. So significantly less competition in UNLV from the Gonzaga game. And then you'll play a third game on Wednesday or Thursday. So you guys can enjoy that on your Thanksgiving day or the day before. It's going to make for, you know, a little challenging Alabama basketball fandom experience, balancing it with your family and friends. But it will be an exciting week out there in Las Vegas. All right, we're right about the end of our hour here, Hunter. What are you predicting for tonight's game against Gonzaga?
All right, well, first, I pulled it out right as our podcast started, but per FanDuel, Gonzaga has the second best odds to win the whole thing.
Oh!
Alabama has the 7th best odds to win the whole thing. So Alabama wins tonight. That changes the entire landscape. I said Alabama would lose to St. John's. I said Alabama would lose to Illinois. And both of those are wrong. I'm going to continue with that. I'm not sure the front court is just ready to play Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish.
Shoot, no.
I mean, obviously, they made some improvement, but Aiden Sherrill is out of foul trouble, and Keaton Bristow and Amari Allen lock in more. I mean, they've been great, but if they just continue to show progress, then Alabama definitely has a shot. And that 4-point margin, I totally agree with. I mean, Alabama has the offense to get it done, but do they have the defense?
So Hunter's taking the Zags, and probably that's a smart pick. I mean, if you're siding with the analytics, you're probably on the smart end of things. I'm going to go against Lord Kenny Pomeroy, and I'm going to go Alabama 86. I'll go a 3-point win, 86-83. It'll be really dramatic, and Alabama will put themselves in position to make a lot of money this week over there in Las Vegas. Make sure you follow all the coverage at BamaCentral.com. Hunter Seiber leading our coverage. Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. Is Nate giving a press conference at like midnight tonight after the game?
I mean, figure the game's going to end at around
8:30, 10:30, right.
I mean, probably, but UNLV is at 11 p.m. Like, I mean, there would be, I guess, Mountain Time, I think, there, so that'd be 10 p.m., but still, there's no way. I mean, they'll have to do a press conference, of course, but doing a press conference at 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning is just ludicrous.
Oh, unbelievable. So maybe, Yeah. Maybe you can watch that on the Bama Central YouTube channel. Maybe. We'll see.
When you wake up in the morning.
Yeah, we'll see if they do give a press conference or not. After the game, they're over there in Las Vegas, so the time change benefits them a little bit and hurts us on that front. We got to get out of here for the day. We're about to go over and talk to Kane Womack, to talk to Ryan Grubb, and to talk to Kayla DeBoer. You can definitely see that on the Bama Central YouTube channel. Hunter, I appreciate your time, man. Follow Hunter DeCiver at Hunter DeCiver on the Twitter machine. You got any other weekend takes, any football that stood out to you? Jahmyr Gibbs dominating, anything that you thought, man, I want to mention this before we get out of there.
I don't think so, but I mean, I love my Bama in the NFL stuff. Jahmyr Gibbs had a great week. Not that I have him in our fantasy league. I was going against our boss.
Oh, you gave a whooping to Chris then.
I did. Yeah, I think I did. I'd have to recheck, but yeah.
Well, we'll find out. Monday Night Football tonight, but really, Players Air Festival, 8:30 on TNT will be our focus right here on BamaCentral.com. We'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll welcome Mason Woods back from the weekend tomorrow, get his thoughts on Eastern Illinois, and start spinning this bad boy forward to the Iron Bowl this weekend. Hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving week. Hope you join us for Thanksgiving week. You can find us on the Bama Central YouTube channel. We'll have lots of fun all week long right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.
This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.